Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And a happy Tuesday. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the light show on your way in this morning.
I must have missed it. I didn't see. Was there lightning going on out there today? Oh, dang. I was up a little bit earlier this morning, so I probably missed the lightning show. Was it good? Was it excellent?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
Browns
why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Was it like electric where you saw like cool bolts of lightning all over the place?
It was
damn.
Epic. It was
sorry, I missed that.
Heat lightning.
Ah, the heat lightning. It's supposed to rain like a little bit today, maybe, I think. I don't know. Yesterday I thought it was going to be beautiful and it wasn't like later in the day. So I'm out of the weather predicting business as well as the sports predicting business because it's neither's going so well right now, right?
Chiefs 35-0, Travis Kelce anytime touchdown.
That's right, and I'm sticking with it. You know they're going to do that this week against Lamar. You're going to have to score that many points to have an opportunity to beat the Ravens. They've scored 111 points this season, right? 1-2 on the year. It's the most points through three games by a team with a 1-2 record in the history of the NFL, man. It's crazy. Baltimore used to be this defensive juggernaut that we used to see. Like, it didn't matter who wore the uniform, you know. They always went out there and slapped people around on defense. And now they're just not doing that right now. And offensively, I mean, they're going to have to score 50 a game for them to continue to find ways to win, man.
Leaves the question, who's got a more identity crisis, the Chiefs or the Baltimore Ravens?
Well, I don't know. We're three games in. I don't know that the Chiefs have an identity crisis right now. I don't know that the Ravens have an identity crisis right now. I think we're three games into the season, and everybody's just kind of figuring out who exactly they are. And the Baltimore Ravens are a team that can score a lot of points, but also – they can't go out there and stop a lot of people from putting up points because if you're scoring 111 and you're 1-2, that's not an offensive issue that you have going on right now. And so I think, you know, maybe teams shift their identities, you know, along the line. Like, we've always identified the Ravens as this defensive team. Maybe they're making their way into an offensive team, and where we've always identified the Chiefs as an offensive juggernaut, maybe they're now a defensive team, you know, in the NFL. And that's up to us to figure out where these teams are. You know, not on paper or anything like that, but kind of figure out where they are and what we can expect by what they go out there and do. You can expect the Ravens to go out and score a ton of points. You can also expect them to go out there and give up a ton of points. That's why I think this weekend could be good watching their first three games. Hey, maybe the Chiefs get a little boost offensively playing against this Ravens defense right now.
Yeah, Ravens, you know, run the ball, play tight defense. Derrick Henry has fumbled in every single game this year. Three games, three fumbles. Mm-hmm. Last night's fumble, kind of crucial.
Yep.
Week one, fumble, very crucial.
Oh, yeah.
Last week, irrelevant. They ended up beating the Browns like 47 to 17 or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Ravens give them a ton of points, man. They give them 96 points this year. Yes, they've scored 111. But again, like, that's not what the Ravens normally are. Like, normally the Ravens are a team that can go up 21 to 10, and then Derrick Henry controls the rest of the game. That is not what's happening in Baltimore right now. This game Sunday going to be, I mean, who's going to make less mistakes? I know that sounds like pretty cliche in a football game. Like, yeah, the team that leads the stat sheet with fewer mistakes, turnovers, and whatever,
yeah, right, yeah,
they're going to win the game. But it's like legitimately. Last night, Lamar Jackson, I mean, still looked good, but like also sacked seven times.
I mean, seven times. And if you get to Lamar five times, I think he's like 1-13 or something like that. Like that's the way you beat Lamar Jackson is what the Lions did last night, right? They got after him. They sacked his ass. And you're watching that game and you're starting to kind of think about, okay, Sunday we've got this Baltimore team. Can we do anything like the Detroit Lions did last night? I think our secondary probably could stand up to the task of what, you know, Baltimore is going to offer. It sounds cliche again, but after watching that game last night, let's go Chris Jones. Let's go George Karlaftis. Let's go defensive line. It's going to be on you guys to try to get to Lamar Jackson and try to get him and keep him in the pocket first and foremost and bring him down. Because when he does get sacked five or more times, he's not a winning quarterback in the NFL. And that seems to be the magic number. And then late in the game, when you're trying to go for a win, pop it out of Derrick Henry's hand and pick up the fumble and fall on it. I mean, that guy's had two crucial fumbles this year, man. And I saw him last night. You know, he's obviously upset about it and apologizing to everybody. But he's now a chronic fumbler, and you have to attack Derrick Henry and punch that ball out because he's fumbled in every game this year. And we saw on Sunday night how big turnovers are. You flip that script, you get that ball back, you get short field position, and that's what you need to do. And so I think it's imperative to gang tackle Derrick Henry and everybody be in there punching the ball out. And if the Lions rookie defensive coordinator, who obviously last night they were talking about how he credits Spags for a lot of the stuff that he's learned as the defensive coordinator now in Detroit, if he's using Spags type of stuff with the Lions out there against the Baltimore Ravens, what is Spags going to do with Spags stuff against the Baltimore Ravens? And so after watching that game last night, man, I'm more excited about this Baltimore Ravens game than I was yesterday because I'm just not sold on Baltimore right now. I don't think they're the big bad beast coming in to Kansas City that can't be slayed. And if we have that attitude at home against the Baltimore Ravens, why would we have that attitude? We're the effing Chiefs, man. Let's go beat this Baltimore Ravens team. Let's go get healthy on offense against this Baltimore Ravens defense. We got a great opportunity on Sunday to capitalize on a team that isn't playing their best right now.
Yeah, the Ravens have given up 96 points in 3 weeks for 32 points an average a game. That's what they're getting up, 32 a game. Derrick Henry is fumbling constantly. Three fumbles this year so far. What was the stat, Mac? I was in there cutting audio from the game last night. He's fumbled three times this year in three games. When's the last time Derrick Henry fumbled three times?
Yeah, 2025, three fumbles on 43 touches. 2023 to 2024, he had three fumbles on 652 touches.
Right. And so, like, you talk about falling off a cliff. It's not just production-wise. It's being able to hold on to the ball. It's everything. And right now, Derrick Henry is a guy that you can target and get a turnover from. And you have to do that on Sunday. Derrick Henry is prone to turnovers right now. He's a prone fumbler right now. And you may think, wow, this is an anomaly, but this is what it's been like all year for Derrick Henry. He may be over that cliff that we always talk about with running backs where it hits and they're really, really good. And then all of a sudden, where did they go? What happened to this running back? Maybe Derrick Henry has gotten to that point with the fumble rooskies that are going on there right now. But what I know is, man, you got to attack Derrick Henry and you've got to punch that ball out. He is a vulnerable, vulnerable running back right now.
The Chiefs are giving up 56 points in 3 weeks. That's an 18.6 average
right.
game. So, yeah, Chiefs have problems. Ravens have problems. Sunday at 325, whoever has fewer problems in that game is winning that game. Plain and simple. Whoever plays a cleaner game in that game Sunday, luckily for the Chiefs, it is in their own backyard, and it's on a Ravens short week. I don't know if Kyle Van Noy is going to play. He was out last night.
It's big.
And then
he's always out, though, isn't he?
That's like, your boy from last year.
Yeah, it is. Karen Van Noy. Karen Van Noy out here complaining about the Chiefs doctors on opening night. They didn't get out to the field fast enough to look at his eye or whatever.
Forgot
Karen Van Noy
that.
Was
May
complaining
not have to worry about it this
yeah.
time.
Yeah, but I mean, he's the Matt Milano type guy. Like, oh, this guy's so he never plays. Like Van Noy, I feel like we talk about him every single week being on the injury list as much as we talk about Matt Milano being on the injury list every single week.
This was Lamar Jackson last night on what Detroit did so well.
Lamar, I think you were sacked 7 times tonight. That rarely happens with you. What were you seeing back there that was causing problems?
Man, guys were doing stunts and they had a spy. And sometimes the spy was, it was grabbing my leg and just what it was.
Grabbing my leg.
Was what it was, man.
I love him so much. Awesome. I really do.
The hair's kind of nice. I kind of the hair.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, he's awesome. Everything about that guy just makes me smile. It really does. I don't like watching him get sacked because, you know, I do have a soft spot in my heart for Lamar. But last night, seeing him go down 7 times and realizing, hey, there's opportunities here. Our guys have to want it this week on defense from a sack standpoint, right? And they've got to go out there and use this as one of those kind of watershed moments. They go out there and they sack Lamar 5 to 7 times like Detroit did. There is no chance that Baltimore is going to have to win that football game. Those are big time defensive plays at home that you're going to make. And so I'll challenge the defensive line this week. Let's get to Lamar Jackson without having to blitz 17,000 times, right? Let's try to get to Lamar Jackson with 4. Obviously, there will be a spy. The defensive coordinator, again, last night comes from the Spagnuolo tree. And so if they were using a spy last night, we'll be using a spy most likely in that game, whether it's Leo Chenal or whoever, you know, the case may be. But I trust this defense to go out there and limit Baltimore. They've limited opponents, as we talked about yesterday, for the last 2 years, last 37 games or something like that. The Chiefs are giving up less than 20 points per game. And so you've got the – or not 20 points, but 27 points per game or whatever it was. You've got the opportunity to slow down an offense right now that is putting up a lot of points, but I think they're a wounded offense. You can get to the quarterback, and you can take that running back right out of the game by punching the ball out and recovering it in your own territory and having a short drive to the end zone.
Big Leo Chenal game. Big Drew Tranquil game.
Yeah, big, yeah. Drew, too, yeah, as well. Yeah.
Spy, somebody watch Henry, somebody – because, like, look, if you can keep Malik Nabers and Wandell Robinson to 4 yards and 3 catches, you got to think you can do the same to Rashad Bateman and Zay Flowers. Because Zay Flowers was shut down for the entire first half of last night's game.
Where was he?
Trying to get open. I mean, Detroit's got a really good secondary. It's not, you know, shame that. Right. But again, like, I talk about identity. The Ravens were on the 1 yard line and got stuffed 4 times.
I mean, what was that, too?
And then later on the game, they're on the 2 yard line. Let's have Derrick Henry try to throw a touchdown. Like that, I mean, that game was, I thought it was a good game last night. A lot of offense, right? 60 points or more scored in the total in the game. But again, like Detroit had Baltimore figured out and Baltimore just ran out of options once they had all their big plays used. I mean, Derrick Henry ran off a 40-yard touchdown run in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened the rest of the game? They just went away from it. They just started passing the ball. Now, granted, Mark Andrews had a big game. Their other tight end that's not Isaiah Likely, he had a big game. But that's what Detroit said. We'll let your tight ends run the middle of the field, and we'll try to contain Lamar and contain Derrick Henry. It worked. They won. Detroit moves on to 2-1. Baltimore's 1-2.
Yeah, and if you contain the two biggest weapons, it's the Bill Belichick school of defense, right? You take out the number two weapons, and you say, all right, if you know Bob Tonyan beats us, then Bob Tonyan is going to beat us. But Derrick Henry's not going to beat us. Say Flowers is not going to beat us. Lamar Jackson's not going to beat us. We'll let you beat us with your ancillary players, but you're not beating us with your star players. And that's kind of what Detroit did last night. And that really is the approach, I think, for everybody now in defense in the NFL. Take out the big-name players, and if Cam Scataboo beats you, then Cam Scataboo beat you. But I'll tell you what, Malik Nabers ain't going to beat you, and he didn't the other night.
Coming up on the other side, the evaluation of the offensive line for the Kansas City Chiefs, plus some parental evaluation as well. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Identity. That's what you got to get back to. There's a bunch of teams that are still trying to find that. Kansas City Chiefs are one of those teams. Baltimore Ravens, one of those teams. The Houston Texans, definitely one of those teams. Kind of sad to look at the AFC standings and see that the Buffalo Bills are 3-0.
Yep.
And the rest of their division has one win.
Yeah.
Talk to you later.
We kind of knew that going in, though, right? I mean, like, we knew that division was going to be just total and utter garbage.
Well, you guys were high on New England.
Bills. I thought New England would be a better team. I didn't think they'd win the division, though. I never thought they'd be a 10-win team or anything like that. I thought they'd be on the start of something good.
Yeah, I still think they're going to win 7, 8, 9.
Yeah,
I think they'll be a good,
I think so, too. I can't believe we're making finality decisions, 3 weeks into the season and things like that, right? Like yeah, they're 1-2 or 2-1 or whatever the case may be. There's some 3-0 teams, I'm sure, out there right now that'll end up not making the playoffs, right? Maybe it's Indianapolis that doesn't make it. I don't know. Can you trust Daniel Jones? So far, he looks like you can. But, I mean, there are teams out there. Just because you're 1-2 or 3-0, it really does not have a bearing right now on whether or not you're going to be that postseason team. Teams take time to gel over the course of a season. And I think the Chiefs are kind of taking time to gel because, well, they got a lot of guys out at the beginning of the season. And so they've got to figure that thing out. The one place where they need to gel better, though, guys, and I really don't know how to talk about this, and I really am confused about this one. Can we be honest for a second? Can we have a safe conversation? The offensive line just isn't that good.
Well, there's a lot of money invested in that.
And that's the thing, Dusty. Like, there's a lot of money invested in Creed and in Trey mm-hmm. and in Josh Simmons and really in Juwan Taylor at this point in time, and your backup offensive lineman in Jalen Moore that you signed as well. They're not very good. Is it okay to say that? Like, is it okay to say Creed and Trey need to get better as well on the interior of the line?
100%.
Because last year and for the last couple of years, we've had these conversations about, just give us a left tackle and everything will be fine. Well, we've got a really good left tackle out there right
now.
He's
awesome.
Right? Like, even the nerd metrics will say he's good. That's just not my eye test.
And yes.
So you've got the eye test plus the nerd stats telling you he's good. He's good. We got our guy. The offensive line looks the same to me as it did regardless of who was playing that left tackle position. And I do think, guys, I hate to be that guy. Creed and Trey need to play better on the offensive line. Nobody wants to say it because we like them and whatnot. But those two guys, man, they're just leaving stuff on the cutting room floor right now. And they need to ante up their game because I'm not seeing Patrick Mahomes with a lot of time still behind the line of scrimmage. And, you talk to people like, we got to get better separation. I'm like, better separation? This guy is under pressure the minute that he gets the football. And a lot of it is coming up the gut. It's not coming from around the outside. And Juwan Taylor's easy to rip because he commits penalties. Trey and Creed need to play better on the interior of that line. There's nobody else that needs to really play better from an actual blocking standpoint than those guys in the interior of that offensive line. They're the ones that are kind of letting Patrick Mahomes down right now.
They announced Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it. Don't like it. I
wonder how he feels. We'll find out tomorrow on Wednesday when Beakley joins the show.
Frustrating, though.
It is.
What do you guys think? Am I
no,
wrong?
You're
am
right.
Am I is it okay to have conversations about players we like but aren't really living up to their end of the bargain right
so
now?
So have a subpar conversation. Is it the offensive line issue of why they can't run the ball, or is it the running back issue?
Well, I think in week 2 it was a running back issue. Because we could see that, and I'm not even thinking from a running game standpoint. I was thinking more of the passing side of things right now and watching Patrick Mahomes under duress and constantly under pressure and whatnot. The running game is, it's Andy Reid. I just put my arms up in the air because this week they should run the hell out of the football against Baltimore. They should run the hell out of the football against the Baltimore Ravens and not 20 carries. I mean, just pound the rock in the
should.
But we don't see Andy Reid do that a lot, right? I'm looking from a passing standpoint. It's not for me the running game right now. It's like Patrick Mahomes literally doesn't have more than 2 seconds back there to try to throw the football. What was it, the tweet by Sam Munson? He's never had less time in his career to try to throw the football than he has at this point in time, right? And so that being said, we fixed left tackle, guys, and it's not Juwan Taylor every single time, And it's not Wanya Morris every single time, or Kingsley Suamataia, or Mike Caliendo, or whoever's playing that left guard position. The two guys that make the most money on this offensive line have to play better. Am I off my rocker on that?
No, you're 100%. I'm with you. I mean, we talked for 4 months about this. Just a left tackle. They go get a gym, maybe one of the best picks in this draft.
Right.
He's been incredible.
He's been awesome.
We haven't even gotten to talk about him.
Yeah.
Because the rest of this offensive line and team has not lived up to their end of the bargain. We've got a rookie playing the second hardest position in all of football and kicking ass. And we've got two of the highest paid players at their position. Like you mentioned, Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith. Yeah, they're not pulling their weight right now. I agree. I mean, there was a play last week, just, you know, Sunday against the Giants. Creed Humphrey, I mean, completely missed his assignment. He's like doing a 360, kind of looking around. Where is it? Oh, Mahomes is running for his life. Yeah, you missed your block, man. Like, you're the center.
Right.
You're the quarterback of these front five. You have to know.
Baltimore in three games has given up 111 yards rushing, 108 yards rushing, and last night they gave up 224 yards rushing and only ran the ball for 85 yards with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. So again, like, there's a vulnerability there in the Ravens defensive unit, as the vulnerability for us that we're talking about right now is the offensive line. And this is from Sam Munson. He says, according to the NFL Pro, Patrick Mahomes has the fastest average time to throw in the NFL this season. He's never been faster than 21st before in his career. Mahomes is currently changing his game, and it's still not enough for the offense to function properly. Because there's some people out there that say, like, Mahomes is just, you know, not the same that he has been. Well, maybe some of that is offensive line struggles. Maybe some of that is guys not getting open. Maybe some of that is guys not being out there on the field. But as Vern would say for the Kansas City Royals, I don't want to hear excuses why the pitchers are hurt. That's not the excuse. It's always next man up. The Chiefs, you have a chance right now for the Baltimore Ravens on a short week, who will have to travel and come to Kansas City and play a 325 game that is going to be massive. Probably the game of the week in the NFL. It's not a huge dynamite slate this week. And these two teams, obviously, with two of the best quarterbacks in football playing against each other once again in a big matchup. I mean, one team's going to be 1-4, the other team's going to be 2-3. And you look at the standings, obviously, from an early spot, there are three 3-0 teams in the AFC. Buffalo, obviously, is going to run away with the AFC East, and at this point, what looks like could possibly run away with the number one seed. And then how much belief do you have in the Chargers, and how much belief do you have in the Colts? Because then, if you can stand pat, no pun intended, but stand pat in this AFC and get back to your ways of winning and taking control of games as the Kansas City Chiefs, you're looking at maybe, you know, best possible outcome as a two seed. That's not terrible.
No.
You've seen that before. You know, then it's like, okay, Buffalo, you control it. We've gone to Buffalo before and won in the playoffs. The Chiefs have been a two seed before and got the one seed and brought the AFC Championship game to Arrowhead. Again, a lot of football left, a lot of teams still trying to figure things out. But a really pivotal game in this next matchup between Baltimore, because if you're not going to win your division, let's just say the Chargers win this division for the first time in 9 years or 10 years that somebody besides the Chiefs wins the AFC West. I mean, you're still looking at a top wildcard spot and you're still, you know, fighting for that playoff. And this would be a big tiebreaker game coming up against Baltimore, where normally in the past that game is, all right, who's going to control the narrative for the one seed? This one might be who's going to control the narrative for the tiebreaker moving forward in the playoffs, because Buffalo 3-0, Jets, what, 0-3, Miami 0-3, New England 1-2. Throw that division away. It's over. It's done. Buffalo's going to play the Saints this week, where they're favored by 15.5. Buffalo will be 4-0. It is what it is. The Chargers, we will see. Time will tell. Can they hold on to that lead? Because we haven't seen anybody do that in this division other than Kansas City. And in the South, that's a garbage pit as well of a bunch of teams like Jacksonville, Houston, Indianapolis is 3-0. Good for them. And then Tennessee, we know what they are because their coach is incompetent as well. But yes, I think the offensive line is a big issue for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah,
and it has been for 4 years.
Yeah, it really has been. And we've kind of looked a blind eye to those guys on the interior, but now it's time. I mean, it really is. We've given you the left tackle. He's been outstanding. The guys on the interior of the line need to elevate their game. You need to elevate your game to the level that Josh Simmons is elevating his game. And that's where they need to be. And you're going against Baltimore this weekend. No better time to get your offensive line back in gear than right here, right now. They have got to play better. And I know nobody wants to hear that Creed and Trey need to play better. We want to blame Kingsley and we want to blame Juwan Taylor. That's low-hanging fruit. Those guys that are paid the big money, you know, once you get paid the big money, the expectation changes. There's no more swing and miss. There's no more, you know, miss a block. There's no more false starts. There's no more any of that when you're the highest paid at each of your positions. The money comes with expectation. Mm-hmm. And with expectation, we expect delivery. And right now, those two guys, the highest paid at their position, aren't delivering like we need them to deliver to give Patrick Mahomes the best opportunity to find these wide receivers. There's such a trickle-down effect in the NFL and really in sports in general that if one person is just out of whack, it affects everything. Everything essentially has to be perfect for every team to have these successful plays. And if one guy isn't doing his job or two guys aren't doing their job, it takes away from the 9 or 10 other guys that are doing their jobs and makes it impossible for those guys to go out there and do their jobs.
Things are pretty down bad in San Francisco. Talk about a team that's been completely depleted with injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Ayuk's not going to be back for another 3, maybe 4 weeks. Christian McCaffrey, I mean, that's a guy that you watch every game and every week with biting your fingernails every time he touches the ball. Brock Purdy's hurt. Nick Bosa now done for the year with a torn ACL. That's tough, man. I mean, you look at what Trent Williams had to say for Mike Garofalo. Offensive tackle Trent Williams said at the game yesterday he was thinking about Nick Bosa on the game-winning drive, said, it's cliche that it's next man up, but when you lose a guy like that, you need 3 or 4 guys to come in and fill those shoes. I mean, dude, it's tough in San Francisco. And luckily right now, the Chiefs have Rashee Rice out with a suspension and Xavier Worthy hanging in the balance of when he's going to come back. Because, I mean, I thought Jamison Williams was going to have a night last night.
Mm-hmm.
2 catches, 43 yards, right out of the chute. That's an Xavier Worthy type of role. Baltimore finally figured out, okay, we're not going to let this guy streak out here. And then all of a sudden, Amon-Ra St. Brown comes out of nowhere, and he becomes that man. Live mic, too. Heads up. Yikes on that ESPN last night. But, yeah, I don't know, man. I've always kind of questioned this offensive line. Because of what they've invested and what they're protecting, and the investment isn't protecting the main objective of investment, which is Patrick Mahomes. And it is causing him to kind of have a loose trigger or to kind of think, you know, maybe outside of his normal pattern, his normal rhythm to like find a guy and read it, which we thought this year, at least I did, that he was going to have more time because we saw that in preseason. We saw them playing against other starters and we saw Mahomes trusting his left tackle. And now all of a sudden in the game, it's like, the guards are missing. Like, do we miss Joe Kotuni that much?
He's the best. He's the best.
Yeah, but we were still having these problems last year.
Yeah, they were.
Right. We have a different left tackle, different left guard, and the problems are still the same.
100%.
And so the only two constants really are the right guard and the center right now on this offensive line because
in the tackle.
Right tackle. But again, when he plays,
he's been good for the most part.
Yeah, he's not giving up a ton of sacks. He's not giving up a ton of pressures. He just can't stay on sides. I mean, if you can't start the play, you can't start the play. But you know, I think what Trent Williams said is very interesting because we expect guys to have that next man up mentality, as he said, but sometimes there are just irreplaceable guys that you can't expect the next man up mentality with. And that's the way that I'm looking at the Chiefs right now with their wide receivers. You got your 1 and 2 guys out right now. On no planet is the number 3 wide receiver on any team just as good or better than your number 1 guy or your number 2 guy. I mean, Tyquan Thornton, remember, he was cut by another team and was just left out there. Another team already gave up on Tyquan Thornton. So the Patriots, you weren't going out there and getting a superstar wide receiver, you know, on the scrap heap or anything like that. Those don't exist. And so I think everybody needs to take Trent Williams' advice and say, okay, when we look at the wide receivers here for Kansas City, yeah, we got 2 big ones that went down. We can't expect the same production. As much as we say next man up, that's just a dumb cliche thing that coaches say around sports because they're panicking too. And as leaders, you can't panic in front of that room. You've got to keep everybody together. So you say next man up, we're good. Meanwhile, on the surface, you really know the next man up isn't as good as that guy. Otherwise, he would be that guy and would be getting the playing time and all of that. You just have to hope to kind of, you know, stem the tide. And that's kind of what the Chiefs are doing right now. And so when I hear Trent Williams say that about Joey Bosa or Nick Bosa or whatever Bosa it is, I look around and I say, we've got to have that same attitude here. We cannot expect Tyquan Thornton and Hollywood Brown to be Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy. It's not fair. It's not right. And it's not going to work that way in the NFL. Guys are starters. Guys are ones for a reason. Guys are backups for a reason as well.
Ooh, the door just opened.
Mm-hmm.
Many people will hate it, but a lot of people love it. It is a Tuesday, and Lycan's Library is open. Guys, you need to read more. You need to read more into the season.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And today, we start off with protagonist and antagonist stories.
Okay.
So in the protagonist novels this week, better protagonist storyline. Baker Mayfield, Danny Dimes.
Baker, much more likable, much more fun.
What is there to hate about Daniel Jones?
Yeah, I've seen the Baker storyline, though. I kind of like this. I kind of like this Danny Dimes. Seems a little more soul. There's something behind those eyes.
Oops, he may be the best quarterback in Colts history. Eli said it last night. Mm.
That's great.
It's funny because Eli was right next to his brother.
I tried watching that again last night. I just can't do the Manning cast.
It's not for me.
Not for me.
It's not for me. It's an audiobook. This is where the pages still smell like fresh library. Better antagonist storyline. The Eagles and Sirianni or the Chargers and Harbaugh?
It's the Eagles and Sirianni. He's a douche.
Try to be respectful in the library here. Big Dom getting fined.
Hey, Mr. Douche.
$75,000 for Big Dom having a foot inside the texting line. Did you see that?
Really?
Yeah.
Good.
That's awesome.
Can't get him on the false starts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Find Big Dom.
Get you on the false octaves there.
Yeah, I'll go Eagles too. I hate them. Until the Chargers do it.
Yeah.
A lesser man would have been dead.
And Harbaugh isn't like a hateable guy like Sirianni.
No. No. And I like Herbert.
Something about that face. And that those stories.
Locked, cocked, and ready to rock.
Whoa, Jim. Keep it down. Library is still open. Worst heartbreak story in the wide receiver world of the NFL. CeeDee Lamb, Mike Evans.
End of a career. You want to see him go out on top. You want to see him have another good year before he walks off into the sunset. So for me, it's Mike Evans.
Well, he avoided serious injury. That's what I read yesterday.
Yeah, hamstring.
A hamstring and a wide receiver, dude. That's tough.
And
yeah, but we've seen him with this stuff before. I think he's going to play 15 games and get 1,001 yards. That's going to be my guess.
But CeeDee Lamb, we got another 10 years of that.
No, that's
guy,
true.
You know?
That's true.
And if I'm CeeDee Lamb, my high ankle sprain is season ending.
Oh yeah, I feel really terrible. I can't walk.
You're not playing for anything in Dallas.
Yes. Yeah, you're right, Mike Evans. That's fair. Go ahead.
More confusing story this year. The Denver Broncos, best team, right? Best defense, Bo Nix, Sean Payton, or the Houston Texans? Because we praised Denver. We said Denver going to be the best team,
yeah.
The best defense. And then we look at Houston. Wow, CJ, just sophomore year, still a playoff team. You know, they got playoff wins. 0-3 in Houston.
Probably Denver, just because of the coach. The defense, the relationship that he and Bo Nix had last year. I mean, you look at a team like Houston, they got better over their last 2 years. They went from a wild card team to a divisional round team, right? But then they traded their, you know, biggest offensive weapon, allegedly, their tackle. They reduced their offensive line. So by doing that, you're taking a step back. So the bigger, like, heartbreaking story is Denver, you know?
I'd say
heartbreaking how
more confusing. I'd say more confusing is...
Yeah, confusing.
Yes, I'd say more confusing is Houston because of that division. I mean, that Texans-Jags game was just like them inventing ways to lose.
That was an AFC South game.
God, that was just unbelievable. And they both have... They're actually really similar teams. It's actually a good comparison, but I'll go Houston.
Yeah, and I don't think that division is even close to being over because all those teams are bad.
Nope. Houston's going to be... They could still make the playoffs.
Seems the confusing sign is library voices on the front door. More of a fiction story. Marvin Harrison Jr. or Brian Thomas
Jr.? Marvin Harrison Jr. right now. He's let me down.
He has.
I mean, he was wide open the other day. Drops it. I mean, how do you drop that?
It's bad, man.
I mean, Kyler may have short-armed it.
But still, come on.
You got to catch it.
Yeah, come on. You got to catch it.
Got to catch that.
I don't know. I'm more confused by Brian Thomas, but more fiction, yeah. More fiction is Marvin Harrison Jr. Brian Thomas got some question marks, though. He didn't want to catch the football either.
You're the fantasy guy. He was a... Big pick. High pick.
Huge pick.
Do we either like their quarterbacks or maybe they don't want in either situation?
Maybe,
you know?
Maybe.
I don't know.
He don't want to get hit.
Last book before the library closes. You can check one out. Who has the potential to have a better repeat story at MVP? Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen?
Josh Allen.
Oh, yeah. Josh Allen.
Going back to back, just like Lamar went back to back?
Yeah. And I go 15-2, 16-1. I mean, legitimately, I think that's what the record's going to be.
Yeah, they got a tough one this week against the Saints.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. The Saints.
This is like, hey, who lost last week that shouldn't have lost because it was a look ahead?
Yep. Green Bay.
Right. We'll see where Sean McDermott is as a head coach. Like, you got the Saints. You're 3-0. You're riding high. go stomp on the Saints, right? Like go eliminate the New Orleans Saints from life out there this weekend and send them home to regroup for next season. That's what good teams do in this type of situation. If you're, you know, Buffalo and you're going to go 16-1 or 15-2, you got to beat down the New Orleans Saints.
Doors locked, doors shut, library closed. We'll be back open next Tuesday. Don't forget Sports Talk on 96.5 The Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversities, yet forcing him to fight for everything he's built and protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King out now, exclusively on Paramount Plus. We get back to it on the other side, and we get into one of the better topics of this show, or segments of the show. It is Tough Tuesdays. We'll get into it here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Isaiah Pacheco, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
A lot of people on the text line saying Andy should lose his job. Not Andy Reid, Andy Heck.
Well, I mean, we saw a wide receiver coach fired yesterday in the NFL.
And we saw an offensive coordinator be told by Raheem Morris, you will be now down on the field, not in the booth. Interesting. I mean, what do we say? The 1 week in the NFL is 10 games in baseball?
It is, yeah.
So we're 30 games in the MLB season.
Yeah.
Damn.
I do think I'd be a booth OC.
A booth OC would be better.
That's for sure.
Yeah, like that's where Al Saunders sat during all those years, and there's a lot less distraction. Like being an offensive play caller in the NFL, which is what Andy Reid is, how he's been able to be an effective play caller for this many years and an effective head coach for this many years doing both of those jobs on the sidelines is ridiculous. Because, you know, talking to Al over the years is like, you're not just thinking about the play you're calling. You're calling that play, and then you have three or four plays based on what happens on that play, and then you have to get that. Like, it is, you're just constantly going. And I would just think about being on the field. Like, I wouldn't want that. Look, I'm spread out here, right? I've got papers here. I've got a notebook here. I got a computer here. I got this here. I got that there. I need my space. I need that concentration, the ability to be up there and not have 85 different things going on, because when you're calling plays, it is a full-time, you're dialed in job. You're thinking about every potential scenario out there. Oh, and then when you're a head coach, you got to call timeouts. You got to worry about the defensive side of the ball. You got to worry about personnel. You got to worry about so many different things that are happening, you know, down there on the sidelines. That's why, you know, what Andy Reid, what he's been able to accomplish and do makes it even more remarkable, because he's out there basically doing two jobs at one time. And both of those jobs are full time, let's go type of jobs, where it's hard to do both of them to the level of success that Andy Reid's had. That's why you don't see many coaches do a lot of that in the NFL.
He kind of bundles it together.
He does. He does a great job of it. But, you know, instead of offensive coordinators and people trying to be Andy Reid, you got to find that lane for yourself. And I think sometimes being up in the booth for the offensive play caller maybe makes a lot of sense. I like the defensive guy being on the sidelines, because I think it's more of an emotional position. You know, the defensive coordinator, you're firing your guys up, you're doing all that kind of stuff. And, you know, calling plays on defense, to me, and maybe I'm wrong about this, just isn't as intricate as it is on offense.
I
you know what
that.
I'm saying? Like, go out there and get the guy with the ball. On offense, you're designing schemes and plays to try to, you know, find weaknesses and all of that. And I think sometimes sitting up top, you get a better view of the field 100%. As well, you know? And
like,
you can see, like,
safety's dropping down.
Yeah, exactly. Now, does Andy have coaches up there that can tell them all that? Absolutely. But sometimes you see things differently. Everybody's their own person, right? You view things differently than I view things and whatnot. And so if you have somebody up in the booth giving you that information, that's great. But if you're up in the booth and you see all that, you're like, okay, I'll keep that in mind as I continue to make these play calls as we move forward. Like, I think you can spot a weakness a lot easier from when you're up high than when you're down low.
And whatever Brian Daboll's doing right now is not working.
So we get into Tough Tuesdays.
Did he get fired?
No.
I said, damn, did my Tough Tuesdays go?
But he did. He did leave the Jackson start window open yesterday.
Yes, he did. He did a little bit, but it's 7:50 East Coast time on a Tuesday. You threw the day ball thing out there. That's my first reaction. Yeah.
Oh, he got fired already.
It's Tuesday. Today's the day in the NFL where you see a lot of that kind of taking place, you know? So now my tough Tuesday is Brian Daboll. He's in a no-win situation with the Giants. The Cleveland Browns are also on my tough Tuesday list as well. But Daboll right now, he's in a no-win situation. If he starts Jackson Dart and the kid doesn't play great, well, he's fired. Mm-hmm. If he continues with Russell Wilson, well, he's fired. So the guy's really in a tough bind right now. In a perfect world, you don't start Jackson Dart this year. But when three quarters of your stadium is full of Chiefs fans and home of the Chiefs sounds as loud at the Meadowlands as it does at Arrowhead, owners take notice of that. Owners look at that kind of stuff and they go, you know what? Our fans aren't showing up. They're saying home of the Chiefs at our place? Man, we got to change some things. So it'll be real interesting to see for Daboll. And Cleveland, to me, is on the hot seat this week. Tough Tuesday because they finally get a win. They beat a good team. And then Deion Sanders is out here on the New Heights podcast bloviating about how his son is going to be the starter sometime this year.
Classic. Ooh.
You wonder why teams did not want to draft Shador Sanders?
Can't get out of his own way. It's dad, dude.
Can we finally have that conversation about why teams did not want to draft Shador Sanders?
Because he's not good.
Well, there is that, too.
Yeah.
Oh. but there is that, but there's also dealing with the parent. And,
constant.
And Little League parents are the worst. They get in the way. Like, Deion Sanders should not be commenting on the New Heights podcast about his son starting for the Cleveland Browns, especially after they just got a win.
Yeah.
It's like after a win in, like, you know, Little League or whatever it is. Hey, Dave, nice win today. You thought about starting Brandon a little bit more at middle back?
Yeah,
I mean, just like, maybe? Like,
yeah.
Have a good day, Brandon. Yeah. Thank you very much.
We don't do that in the NFL. That's why teams did not want to take him. And, you know, the Lamar Jackson story that he told where Shador told the Ravens, no, don't draft me. I don't want to back up Lamar for 10 years. Like, I don't necessarily have a problem with that, but it's more of those issues of headaches that people just don't want to deal with. And in the NFL and in life in general, you just want to reduce those people at your workplace that make it difficult every day to go in. And if you got to go in every day and get a call from a parent. So I feel bad for the Cleveland Browns, sort of. They put themselves in this situation to them.
Tough Tuesday for me. I don't know if it should go to the University of Clemson or to Dabo Swinney.
Hickory dickory dock. The mouse ran up the clock. Coach Sweeney's got that drip. And now he's on TikTok.
Oh! I came into the room and I saw a guy named Dabo Swinney. I said, hey, Sweeney, you wouldn't even be able to think what's my weenie. Oh!
Andrew Dice Clay, by the way, 67 years old, sold out Madison Square Garden twice in the 80s. Look, Dabo Swinney, it's tough, man. You're going here in press conferences. You're doing all these weird speeches. You don't need an IL. You don't need the transfer portal. You're getting your ass kicked. It's a downfall in Clemson.
That's my state. But why are we held to a different standard from all these other teams?
Because you've won.
Who ain't ever won nothing. We're not perfect, and we may suck this year. We may lay a freaking egg and go 6-6.
You better not. You better don't, man. If you go 6-6, those boosters and those alumni will be like, "What's his buyout? $50 million? How about this for NIL?" Dabo Swinney.
Well,
we'll use NIL money to put towards our university to patch up that $60 million buyout, and you can go run down another hill for somebody else.
If he goes 6-6, most people would just look the other way. But when you go 6-6 and you're a douche along the way, you gotta be nice to people on the way up, because on the way down, we're all moving out of the way and we're letting you fall to your death.
I just love
hickory dickory doc. The mouse ran up.
Have you
the
heard
clock.
The real one
Coach
before?
Sweeney's got that drip, and now he's on TikTok.
Oh.
Hickory dickory dock. Jack and Jill went up the hill, you know. Fetch a pail of water. Jill came down with 2 50. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of Andrew Dice Clay, by the way? Not the greatest human being, but
I've heard that name. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Comedian in the 80s, as Dusty said. Like, big, like, Jersey guy, you know.
Yeah.
Rocky.
You know the song, "Yo, Unbelievable"? Oh. That's him doing the oh.
Really?
Yeah, I just found that out.
I did not know that.
I just found this out yesterday. I went down to Andrew Dice Clay rabbit hole.
Because
I saw that video.
Oh, that video.
And I was like, what does this remind me of? And I'm like, oh, it reminds me of the Dice Man.
No, it's Andrew Dice Clay. Yeah.
Johnny Bananas and Entourage. How you doing? Oh.
Yeah, Hickory Dickory Dock and Jack and Jill went up the hill.
Can't really repeat the rest of
no,
it.
No, you really can't. No. Yeah, no. Look it up.
Yeah, it's not the greatest comedy, but it is kind of interesting.
I mean, it's just wrong. You know? It's just vulgar.
I just love that Dabo answers his own question. Why are we held to a different standard, teams that you know, haven't won anything?
Well,
because you won. Yeah, you just answered it because you've won.
Why are we holding Cree and Trey to a different standard this year? Like, done got paid.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if Bill Self did that.
No, he wouldn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Like, you know, we're held to a different standard, and now we might suck this year. Well, Bill, you say that in Lawrence. Goodbye.
Somebody else had a situation recently, too, where they're, like, ripping the fan base.
Probably Gundy. I mean, he's got a tough
Tuesday. He's having a tough Tuesday, too, man. That guy, it's time for him to bounce.
It's
way past its time. Who's your tough Tuesday, Mac?
I don't know, but I love it. Three coaches. Lane Kiffin. His daughter, Landry Kiffin, posted a picture on Instagram debuting, hard launching her relationship with star linebacker for LSU, Whit Weeks. Who plays this weekend? LSU and Ole Miss.
Nice.
So Whit Weeks, awesome Tuesday
Whit
for
Weeks.
You.
What does his dad do? He's got to be an attorney in Baton Rouge.
You got Lane Kiffin's daughter to hard launch your relationship.
His name is what again?
Whit Weeks.
Whit Weeks.
The week that he plays you. It's awesome. This is great.
How do you do? It's Weeks.
He's pretty cool. He was featured heavily in the SEC doc on Netflix.
His dad was a hell of a baseball player named Ricky.
Ricky. I wish.
I don't think they're the same.
No, Whit Weeks definitely grew up in Mission Hills. There's no question about that. Salmon slacks, loafers, no socks. Yeah, the whole nine yards.
Hell yeah.
Mission Hills resident or LSU football player. Yeah. Yes. Dating Lane Kiffin's daughter. You got to love it. Does she go to LSU?
I think she goes to I thought she went to Ole Miss. I know
well,
one
you
of
his should.
Kids
it's did. Free if you're a state employee.
Exactly.
Judging by the photo they shared, I think she visits, quite frankly, Ole Miss or LSU.
Yeah.
Hey, he's at Ole Miss, right? And she's dating this guy at LSU.
Yep. Starting middle linebacker.
Ole Miss is a better place to go visit than Baton Rouge. Now, maybe not the actual game, but the pregame stuff is.
Oh, yes.
I mean, you got the Grove. And,
so fun.
Hearing
Oxford's
about
great.
George Brett tell me stories about tailgating in the Grove. I mean, like, it gets
rowdy.
It does, man. Seeing videos about that and all that great stuff over the years. So that's a great place to go tailgate. LSU is a bucket list for me to go watch a 100%. Football game. A night game in Baton Rouge. I don't know that there's much better from a college football standpoint than a night game down there at Tiger Stadium. I think that'd be great.
Rocky Top.
I was going to say, other than Knoxville, I agree with you.
You agree with me, right?
Other than Knox, I'm right there with you. Yeah, Baton Rouge is electric.
Yeah, you got to take your biases out. Like, other than Allen Fieldhouse, you can have Cameron Indoor and all that other crap.
What does Baton Rouge hold, like 100,000?
Yeah, it's right bigger than Rocky
huge.
Top, right?
Is it? I don't think so.
No,
I think Neyland's like top three or top four.
And Clemson is another place I'd love to go to a night game in. Death Valley. I'd love to see a night game there at Clemson. I'll wait till they fire Dabo.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Yeah, that's golly.
Tickets will be cheap soon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The LSU Tiger football stadium holds 102,321.
Wow, so it'll actually be right there because Neyland's at like 101, 102. So
aren't they like trying to just challenge each other in the SEC and just add bleachers?
Yes, at this point, yes. We've got 1,000 more. Well, we're talking about 100,000, so great.
Yeah.
Yeah, capacity at Rocky Top, 101,915.
There you go. What was LSU?
102.
So LSU is bigger,
us.
Yeah.
Dang it. It is what it is. Coming up the other side, we play a game. We play Flashback Brett Veach game here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.